love those two songs. Actually, all the songs we sang this morning, really good to open up worship. And as Tim said, I fully agree with him, you know, bless the Lord, don't we? We always talk about us and asking God to bless us or bless somebody here, bless somebody there. But I think the thing is, right, we're here to bless the Lord. It reminded me when he was talking about that, it reminded me of that song by Andre Crouch, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me, bless his holy name." That's what we're here to do, and to honor Christ. Well, I know you all have had a big weekend. I have to wear my glasses today because I wear contacts, you know, my left eye was irritated, you know, probably because I wore my contact every day for a month and slept in it and stuff like that, and it got irritated. I know it's a big no-no. So I'm sort of, I don't want to say blind, but without these things, I can't see anything. I can see you guys out there, but up here, I can't see a whole lot. So I'll be fumbling with these along the way. You know, we got started talking about the energy bus and being on an energetic bus ride together. You'll see Missy kind of made our bus lanes for us, so you guys are all on the bus now as you walk that path down and you get in and you're sitting on the bus. And we talked a little bit about last week that if we drive together, get on the bus together, it's going to be a lot of work, it's going to be some teamwork, and then we're going to have to follow some rules. So we're going through these 10 rules. You haven't had rule number one, you're going to get that today. But I mentioned one of our destinations that this church has been talking about for 25 years is to move down yonder a mile. Or is that north? What is that? Wherever. We'd be going a mile somewhere towards the new property where the Cedars is located. And of course, I'm all for it. And I think our staff is all for it. Many others are for it. So we're asking everyone at this point. Now, there's more than just moving down there. There's lots of other things that are going to be taking place on the bus. But that's one of our chief things, is to eventually get ourselves down there. And we're asking everyone to get on board the bus and travel together with some energy and get ourselves down there. Now, again, it won't be overnight, so we're going to have to practice patience. And don't forget, when before Pentecost and before the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples, they had to sit and wait for the Holy Spirit to come. And they had to be patient because Jesus promised, boy, someone's coming that's really going to help you guys take off. So they had to wait a little bit. So I want us to be patient as well and really let the Holy Spirit lead. It wasn't until after the Holy Spirit got there and got into the hearts and the lives of the disciples that ministry really took off. So we're going to kind of work on that together, making sure we're filled with the Holy Spirit along the way. So it's not going to happen overnight. We obviously have to have a good strategy in place and do some thinking together and have some dialogue together and figure some things out together. Therefore, in this series, along the way, along with the rules, we're going to talk about a lot of things, all sorts of things, from generosity in giving, which is going to be a very important piece, to our own responsibility as team members, you know, on the bus. And so we want to see God's kingdom first. We want to give him the glory, all the honor. We want to bless God as we proceed and give him honor in everything that we do. So I asked you last week to pray about one word, a positive word. It would apply to your life this year as we work together. You could call it a theme word if you wanted to. And you might recall mine is to unclutter, and I've got things from my office to the home to my brain that totally my mind needs to unclutter, so I have that on my fridge. I've written it in my journal, it's in my Bible, it's in my mind, and it's over here on my one-word chart, and I notice we only have four words over there. So if your word doesn't get on there, it means as the driver of the bus, I'm going to confront you, right? We're going to be honest with each other. So we need words up there, and we want to talk about those words. We want to tell each other about those words, because when you put those words into action, those positive words, put them into action as part of your theme, it helps the bus drive to its final destination in unity. So get those words up there. Plus, I think it's kind of fun to see what everybody's working on, and especially as they're working towards maybe a spiritual goal or something like that. So the big thing we talked about as well was renewing our hearts and our minds, that we in Christ Jesus. So our memory verse for the month is Romans 12, 2, and we're going to recite that together right now, if we can. And there it is. So we say the reference, we say the verse, we say the reference to follow. Here we go. Romans 12, 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 12, 2. Very nice. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we give everything to you this morning. It's a snowy day, but it's kind of cool. We haven't had a whole lot of snow recently, so, you know, it makes the streets, everything kind of look clean and refreshed, white as snow, that kind of thing. So get us set for today. Get us set for rule number one of the ride of the bus and energize us, and may your Holy Spirit guide and direct us this morning. Be with those two who couldn't be with us. Love and bless on them in a special way today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I'm not going to have a lot of time to review. This is one of those things where you really do want to review each week and kind of cover some of the points so we can get it in people's heads, hearts, and minds. But I'm not going to have a lot of time to do that. So what I want you to do is, if you're not here or if you need some refreshing or whatever it is, I want you to see Mr. Doug or Ron or myself or Brittany and say, hey, I'd like a DVD. So if you miss, you can get it on DVD. You can also, when you come in here, if you walk over here, you're going to not only see people's words, but you're going to see the rules go up 1 week at a time. And so hopefully this is the kind of tape, so when you take it off, it doesn't mark up the wall. If it does, charge me, I guess. I don't know, but I don't think it will. So do that. And then also, I think every week they put the message on our website. And so I know there are some people that listen to that outside of the church, and you can also get the information that way as well. So when we were talking about our one word as confirmation of the one word, you know, sometimes you like confirmation when you're either preaching or teaching or something. Okay, am I on the right track? Am I doing the right thing? Well, on Monday morning for my devotions, after the service that we had that Sunday on one word, I picked up my coach's Bible. And in the back of that Bible, there are, if you've read through it, the whole Bible there, in the back, there's a devotional for each day. And it's written by a coach. And so I had not, I'm reading through a different Bible than this one. I just like to use this one every once in a while when I preach and teach. But I picked it up, and I turned to the devotion of January 1. And the coach's name was Britton, and he talked about a scripture that comes from Philippians 3, 13 through 14. And here's what Paul says. Some of you know this. Paul says, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do. What would be interesting for all of us and for you to do, I've already done it, is take that one thing and research who said that in the Bible. Paul said it here, but who else has said it? Jesus has said it. Some others have said it. You might want to look up those verses. There's one thing you're missing, or, you know, there's one thing that you could do, or something like that. There's always this one thing there. And then Paul says, forgetting what is behind, the one thing, forgetting what is behind, straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward to Jesus Christ. Now, don't forget, Paul can be considered a bus driver, right? He was a church leader. I mean, he was driving several churches. He had several buses to contend with and deal with. And I think these are great verses for an energized bus. But the coach went on to say that every year from this scripture, he got this idea, every year I'm going to choose one word as a theme. And I thought, you got to be kidding me. That's interesting. And he said, acting on that word throughout the year stretches him mentally, spiritually, and physically. And this was written in 2006. I'm getting this stuff out of books from 2018, very recent. Some of them maybe 20, 12, 13, 14, and 18. Paul's one thing was to press on towards the goal, right? In a little bit more. So that one word, right? My one word, my one thing this year is to unclutter. That's my big thing for the year, unclutter. What's yours? That's I want you to make sure and find that word for yourself. So we're going to look at rule number one. It's on the front of your bulletin, I think, and riding on the energy bus. You are the bus driver. Now, in this, as I read this, right, for myself, in the specific case for the church, the you, for me, is meant as the pastor. So, in essence, the church called me several years ago to drive the bus. In other words, to lead people, to invite tons of people on board, to preach, teach, train, and equip, all of that stuff. But listen, that I really believe that's the case. But you are also bus drivers in the tasks that you are called to as well, including your families. You drive the bus. Maybe it's your position at work and where are you at work? And you're the bus driver, or school or vocation or other service. In some way, shape, or form, you're a bus driver somewhere and in some capacity. But I will tell you, and you know this, it can be very difficult when others are trying to put the brakes on while you're driving the bus, or are negative, or they think they should be driving your bus. So what I've had to come to terms with is that I am the lead bus driver at Lebanon First Baptist Church. Now, if that is the case, those of us in the driver's seat have to realize and understand a few things. Now, these don't just go for me as the bus driver here. It goes for you as a bus driver in your own life, wherever that may be. Number one, as a bus driver, I have to understand that I am too blessed to be stressed. It took me years to figure that out. Because as a pastor, you always feel like you're stressed. And it just took me years to figure this out. God has blessed me too much to be stressed, so I'm going to take a chill pill. And you know what? That bothers people. Because other people are so stressed out in their lives. They're like, well, now how can... That's amazing. Doesn't care. It's not that I don't care. It's that I'm just way too blessed to be stressed. I mean, I want to share with you some stats. These are very current stats from 2018. These are popped up by the Barna Group, who does a lot of research on pastors and stuff like that. Now, a lot of this doesn't pertain to me, but I want you to understand what pastors and ministers, how they feel about their own lives, right? So these are stats. Now, think of them as bus drivers. 72% of pastors report working between 55 to 75 hours per week. 84% of pastors feel they are on call 24/7, which really they probably should, because we are. So I didn't get that one. 80% believe pastoral ministry has negatively affected their families. Whew. Many pastors' children do not attend church now because of what the church had done to their parents in ministry. 23% of pastors report being distant to their family. 78% of pastors report having their vacation and personal time interrupted with ministry duties or expectations. 53% of pastors report that the seminary did not prepare them for ministry. I would agree with some of that right there. 43% of pastors spend 10 to 15 hours a week in sermon preparation. You know, there's a lot of people in the congregation that think it takes like 4 hours to make that happen, right? And actually, it could take a lot less time if you go to sermoncentral.com, right? Pump out somebody else's sermon and do that, but you're an egghead if you do, as far as I'm concerned. 95% of pastors report not praying daily or regularly with their spouse. Oof. That's not good. You need to look for a marriage retreat. We're going on one. 52% of pastors feel overworked, cannot meet the church's unreal expectations. 75% of pastors report spending 4 to 5 hours a week in needless meetings. I never would have thought that. 35% of pastors battle depression or fear of inadequacy. 70% of pastors do not have someone they consider to be a close friend. And I know a lot of pastors myself that have no close friends. And the reason for that is as the bus driver, People get on the bus, they get disappointed, and they leave. So why bother making friendships? You get that? 57% of pastors feel fulfilled, but yet discouraged, stressed, and fatigued. So they apparently like what they do, but it's a lot of stress and fatigue on it. The profession of pastor is near the bottom of a survey of the most respected professions, which means pastors, you know, your lead bus driver is not too respected. And then, yeah, big percentage of us are out of shape. One out of every 10 pastors will actually retire as a pastor. Right? You know what that means. We're pastors for a few years and we're going, I don't even want to be driving this bus anymore. I'm getting out of here. And then here are some other statistics that are still being researched, but they're older statistics, so they're upgrading them. 4,000 new churches begin each year. 7,000 churches close. 1,500 pastors left the ministry every month last year, the previous year, before 2018. Over 1,300 pastors were terminated by the local church each month, many without a cause. And over 3,500 people a day left the church in 2017. Wow. Folks, we got a lot of work cut out for us. And that's not all that bad. We got some great things to do, some fun things to do together as we ride this bus together. But the fact is, a stressed out driver does no one any good. Not at all. Ever. If you're with a taxi driver in New York or wherever you're at, a stressed out driver doesn't do anybody any good. And then, I got to consider myself too blessed to be stressed, take the chill pill, believe in God, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then, as a driver, I need to persuade the passengers that they're too blessed to be stressed. Now think about it. Look around. I know we don't have as many people as we usually do, but look around. How can we, sitting here with clothes on our backs, maybe some of us have a little bit of a belly, we're warm, we're comfortable, we have transportation, we have this beautiful church, how can anybody not say that we are too blessed to be stressed? You just can't. Look, all of us have experienced life and death together or apart. My parents have died. We've had somebody in our family try to commit suicide. All sorts of things. So we can tell all sorts of stories that have stressed us out. But still, in the end, when we look at Jesus Christ and who we believe in, we are too blessed to be stressed. Or we should be. Number two, as a bus driver, I need to take responsibility for the drive, the purpose, and the destination. And so along the road, I need to be teaching, training, and equipping people to reach people to Jesus, to work together. One of those destinations, right, is to eventually get us out to the new property. Paul says in Acts 20:28 to church leaders, he's talking to church leaders here, those that are beginning the new stages of the church, he says, be on guard for yourselves and your passengers, among whom the Holy Spirit has appointed you as, he doesn't use the term bus driver, but I'm going to say it, as the bus driver, to drive the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. So I'm to be on guard as the head bus driver for my passengers, because God has appointed me to do that. And number three, as a bus driver, I have to be positive, joy-filled, energized, encouraged, and enthusiastic about the trip, the passengers as well, and where we're headed. And I am enthusiastic about it. Now, you might think that it's an easy task, but we've already discussed a couple of times in last week when many of the passengers are telling you how to drive, a bus driver can become jaded. And that's probably why we have so many pastors leave the pulpit. Listen to what Scripture has to say about passengers towards attitudes towards their bus drivers. Hebrews 13:17, the author writes this, and you may not want to hear this, but this is the Bible talking, this isn't me. It says this: obey your leadership and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls. In other words, they're driving the bus, they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. And we talked a little bit about that last week. Those of you that say yes to being on the energy bus, to moving forward, to having faith and going, I'm held accountable for you. It doesn't say you're held in account of me. It says I will be held accountable for you and what happens on the bus. Over your souls as those who will give an account, it says. Do this, it says, so that they can lead. Now, you guys, you know, submit, obey. You do this so that the driver can lead and keep watch with joy and not grief, for that would be unprofitable to you. Imagine if your dad, like in our household, my dad was kind of, mom was the driver of the house inside, right? And, you know, she took care of all this sort of stuff. And imagine if I went in there and interrupted her all the time or got her ticked off and stuff like that. You think my life would just be happy and joyful? It would be made miserable. The bus driver would have a cow, right? It would be the same thing with my dad, who was the spiritual leader or driver of the house. And I would go wayward and do all sorts of crazy, stupid things and upset him. The ride would not be very good. So as children, when we obey our parents even, makes your house a lot smoother, doesn't it? It goes better. So do this, it says, they can lead and drive and watch with joy and not grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. In 1976, America's Bicentennial. I told you this story before, a little bit about this story, but our high school band flew to Washington, D.C., to play on the Capitol steps. It was awesome. It was my first time on an airplane, cool, getting up above, seeing God in the sky, you know, above the clouds, below the clouds. It was the coolest thing ever. But the highlight was the coach bus ride from Washington, D.C. to Philadelphia, where we had another couple of concerts in Philadelphia. And our bus driver, he was serious about his job. He was protective, of course, of his passengers. He had rules for all of us on that band trip. I mean, we're all kids up in high school age. But at the same time, he's one of the most joyful guys I ever got to know or meet or encounter. And so when we would stop at like a rest area on our way, he would pull out his blaster. You guys remember one of those? It's the big box that goes on your shoulder. And remember seeing those commercial people are dancing? He'd take that thing out and he'd set it on the curb and he'd turn on the music. All of us kids were out and we went to the restroom and stuff. And then we'd be by the bus and he'd be there singing and dancing and doing all sorts of shenanigans, you know. His favorite, of course, was Motown music. He just loved that, so I did too. And I'm a drummer, so I could groove with that, not very well, but he would teach us different steps and all that sort of stuff. I will never forget that bus ride because he was so fun. He was so energized. He knew his destination. He knew his purpose. He knew he was in charge of us and our safety. But yet, he was an energized, fun-filled guy. Now, as a bus driver, I have to remember that no one can choose my attitude for me. No one can. I choose it. And no one can choose my energy for me. I choose it. I choose what I'm going to be like on a daily basis. But it sure does help when other people have good attitudes too, doesn't it? And we work together as a team. Number four, as a driver, I have to know the passengers. So those folks that are either in the hospital or who I visit at home, some of you are here today, especially those of you that have been in the hospital or you've been shut in for a while. You know I love to stay and talk. And I just don't come over the traditional pastor and have a word of prayer and leave. I just love to sit there and know about your family, your likes, your dislikes. I like to look on pictures on the wall. The other day I was over at Karen Lang's house for an hour and a half, and we got into talking, since I'm an antique freak, which, by the way, you know, which means I love antiques, and now that I'm almost 60, it means I have to start loving myself more, right, because I'm becoming an antique. So anyway, going over to Karen's, we're talking about the furniture in her house. I said, where'd you get that piece? She's telling me all the history of this and that, and that her daddy got her piano, that old piano when she was in her teens, and I'm like freaking out over all this stuff. We just had such a great time. Know your passengers. And what happens when you know your passengers and their likes and their dislikes, and you want to stay with them, you want to pray with them, you want to play, you want to laugh, you want to cry with them, now you know your audience. And it's much easier to speak with your audience. The best thing about being a bus driver is not only getting to know the people and building relationships, but from that you start to know God more, and it becomes easier to make God known. Now, number five, you know, as a bus driver, I believe I'm called to create a culture as well of trust, love, care, joy, enthusiasm, all those fun things, hard work, service. We need a culture of service and Bible reading, Bible study, energized worship. We need that culture. We all need to work in the same direction, the same destination. But remember when I said I was responsible for the drive and the purpose and the destination? In this as a team, all of us take responsibility and ownership of all that our church is, all that our church is, what our church does, and how our church behaves, and whether the church succeeds. You see, so that whole drive is not all on me. Those of you that decide to get on the energy bus, you have some big responsibilities as well. We'll talk about those next week. As we close out this morning, I want you to imagine with me for a moment how cool it would be if there was a facility here in the community that was filled with youth and kids, young adults and parents, and just hanging out and having fun together. People from all over the community. And then our church was present, ready to worship, ready to take on the day, to lead, to teach, to train, to search, to equip, to build relationships. Imagine the energy that would be there, and how many folks could be led to Jesus and filled with the Holy Spirit. I think that would be awesome. Really great. We already have the facility. We have it. But as the church, none of us are there right now. And by that, I mean in regards to worship and Christian education and all the possibilities that could happen out there. In one day, after the first bus thing last Sunday, in one day on Monday, Brittany booked 10 events at the Cedars. One day. All those people are in my mind. Now, Tim, he's fortunate. He gets to go over to that place and hang out and talk Jesus with them. So that's a good thing. That's a wonderful thing. But those people weigh on my mind like, ooh, how better can we reach those folks? What else can we do to be a bigger presence over there? And so we have a bus that we're riding on. Destination Cedars. I don't know what you want to call it, but it's a good ride. And it's going to take all of us on board working together with God's grace, His mercy, and His love. And again, I'm inviting everyone on board. How do I know you're on board? I don't know. But when I see words going up, I'll find out whether it's really worth it or not. Right? So I'm inviting you on board. Next week, we're going to be talking about the passengers. We're going to be talking about the responsibility the pastor or the passengers have, and then we're going to look at rule number two of the energy bus, which we're going to talk more about vision, direction, desire, And your executive council has worked hard on some of this stuff. So I'm going to lay some of that out for you next week so you can see what everybody's thinking and what we're striving for. In the meantime, would you please keep praying for your one word? Maybe start acting on that one word and be patient. You know, one of the things the disciples had to do, they saw Jesus die and rise, right? And then they had to go up to this room. And they had to do what? They had to wait. They had to wait for the Holy Spirit. Patience. We need to be super patient as we go. And sometimes we'll be driving 550 miles an hour. Sometimes we're going to have to slow her way down. But patience. And then let the Holy Spirit do the guiding. Would you join me in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, as we look to you, as we look as our driver, would you give us the patience that we need, and would you give us the love that we need, and just everything that we need to make this trip possible? We got a great group of folks here in this church, Heavenly Father, and so I lift them up to you and ask a special blessing upon them as they contemplate, okay, are we going to go? Are we going to stay on the bus? What is it that you need us to do? Would you just speak to each one of us individually, then as a bus together? Lord, that we may be united in what we do, that you just bring us all together, making this trip a great success. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for leading, loving, guiding, and directing. Be with us as we leave this place today. And help everyone to have a wonderful, super wonderful week filled with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.